We'd like to start by thanking our two platinum sponsors of today's RAIN Summit, Audioboom and Podcast One. And we'd like especially to thank the radio show produced by RAB and NAB.
Thanks. Well, we've got a great agenda planned for you today, as I said, so we'll get to it right now. Our first panel is called Ad Models with Impact.
And we do have a housekeeping note on that. Brian Benedict from Spotify is sick in bed and unable to make it to Indy today. So Willie Sanchez from Fox News Radio has graciously agreed to take the stage. Thanks, Willie.
Great. This event will be moderated by one of our favorite RAIN Summit moderators here to discuss ad monetization strategies for online radio. It's a great panel of experts led by, from SNL Kagan, Robin Flynn.
Join me. Thank you. Thanks, Kurt. Thanks, Jennifer. And good morning, everyone. Very honored and pleased to be here again this year to moderate a panel devoted to one of the most important topics in the industry, which is the revenue side of things. Ad models, how advertisers are feeling about the business, what is happening with metrics, with the demand for spots, and with investor and advertiser confidence. So here with me to discuss these topics, I'm very pleased to have, first, on my left, Mike Dougherty, who is CEO and co-founder of Jelly. Next to him, Joy Baer, president of Strata. Joanna Bloor, VP Sales Operations with Pandora. And as Jennifer mentioned, Willie Sanchez, Senior Director of Digital Operations for Fox News Radio. So welcome, everybody. So to start the panel, I'd really like to ask everybody to discuss one of the key topics that we're looking at here today. There are many options for advertisers now in the online audio world. They can choose from in-stream audio messaging, voice-activated ads are a relatively new area, geofenced advertisements, zip code targeted campaigns, branded playlists, sponsor downloads. There's many options for advertisers to choose from. So how can streaming audio services, streaming online services, create some sort of consensus and present really a more of a unified offering for advertisers to give them confidence to advertise with you? Mike, if we could start with you.
Well, I think that's a good list of all sort of, I would say, exciting innovation that's occurring on the advertising side of audio. The panel title is Ad Models with Impact, and I think the biggest impact that's happened in the last 24 months has been probably something a little less sexy as a new ad unit and more around the plumbing on the back end, at least from our perspective, as that plumbing has been connected between buyers who have been buying traditional radio, for example, using methodologies and platforms that they've been putting budgets through and sales processes. As those have been connected to digitally platforms like Pandora and others through some of the partners on the stage, I think it's really unlocked revenue opportunities that have started to flow into the streaming channel. So I think it starts with just this concept of making sure that the money is connected to the audience and the publishers. And that's been a lot of work by folks over the last 2 years. And frankly, if you're involved with something where that work hasn't yet happened, where you're still working on sort of a silo that's not connected to these mainstream budgets, then one of the first things you have to do is go connect, because that's where the money's coming in.
Great. Joy.
What Mike's saying, and I think Strata has seen a great unlocking of opportunity by bringing the Pandora partnership into Strata and providing it to our media buyers. We've seen an enormously large positive response to having digital audio available in what's otherwise traditional spot. And to Mike's point, that's where the budget, there's a bunch of budget there. There's a bunch of opportunity there, and these buyers wouldn't otherwise have access to digital media in a scalable way. Scalable meaning that they can buy a lot of it very easily. So the fact that they're able to do that now has really changed the paradigm. And I don't think that it means that it's only available to buyers through Spot. It brings the media locally, and it's available to them from a digital point of view as well. There's digital groups that are accessing this same media through Pandora in a really meaningful way too, because of that partnership. There's a heightened awareness of it. So it goes both ways, and I think it's a great testament to an ad model with impact for sure.
Joanna.
Sure, we're going to run down. I didn't pay these guys, I promise. Yeah, it's a little bit, we were talking about it earlier. You know, the audio business has been around for decades, certainly longer than the banner ad, for sure. And thinking about that and the impact of the very simple audio ad, and I heard a lovely expression the other day that advertising is out there to create an emotion. And a marketer says, if I have made an emotional connection with somebody, I'm successful. In some way, shape, or form, and nothing quite does that through sound, and that's been proven for years. And certainly how we think about that is, well, it's been proven for years. Many people, and you know, we struggle at Pandora with this, of do we have people who are really incredibly knowledgeable in the broadcast world, or do we have people who are very knowledgeable in the digital world, and how does the technology actually work? Because anybody who doesn't think their streaming product is not a technology, and all of the systems and data and code and all of these things that you have to remember to be able to serve your digital clients, you kind of have to check your ego at the door and not think like a digital platform, and not come in with this preconceived notion of, well, this is the way it works in the digital space and this is a digital product, therefore I should change the marketplace. Certainly what I think really helps in the ad model, and it's a proven ad model in the terrestrial space, is actually coming in and saying, I am going to understand, how do I speak this language? How do I transact in a way that is beneficial to my buyer? How do I think about what's beneficial to them at the end of the day? You know, your agency buyers are trying to make their clients happy, and are you thinking about beyond just that initial phase, and then the fact that you have this really lovely, simple ad that makes an emotional connection, and then you can layer all of the fancy stuff on it. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to play as much in this I need the new shiny toy RFP business that the digital business gets really wound up into sometimes, and yet is starting to move away from as well. They're starting to move much more into the scalable model that existed for a long time in terrestrial radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Willie from Fox News perspective.
So talking from the publisher side of things, we have other people who actually represent, other companies represent our inventory for us. So what we do is we work with them to try to find out what the client's goals are. Many times it's just an awareness play, and they just want to reach as many people as possible and just blast our stream with as many ads as they possibly can. Other times they'll have objectives into converting someone over to actually watch a movie trailer and such. So what we'll try to do is match up our audio with other entities like our social, where we can get a lot more impact for them from them and get a lot more demographic data that we can provide them that we can't normally get just on a streaming audio. We don't have the benefit of collecting data that Pandora has right now, so we have to rely on other services and try to marry them to create that impact for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, you mentioned a couple things. You mentioned social. You mentioned the streaming component. So I'd like to focus now on maybe some specific examples. What are current ad models with the most impact? How do the CPMs compare? And what have you found really works for advertisers as well as for publishers? Mike, would you like to start with that?
Well, We're very focused on a category in audio called programmatic, which is a buzzword. It's also representative of a very large trend across pretty much all media buying now. It was started with digital display. It's now moved into video, online video, and even linear television, and it's coming to audio now. I think the concept of programmatic is one that is a horizontal or a function about how to buy and sell audio ads. And it has a lot to do with kind of two main value propositions to both sides of the equation, both the seller and the buyer. And that is, on the one hand, automating processes which, from a demand side, are becoming more, the requirements coming in from marketers are becoming more complex every day. That complexity is being driven by their experience in other media types that can handle the complexity easily. And thus, it's raising the bar from their perspective on what how you should spend your dollars with marketing. And when it comes to audio, we haven't historically kept pace with that same innovation against being driven, unfortunately, by other media. But to the marketer, it's to them a raised bar now. And so what programmatic does is it helps to automate components of our process today that historically have been done by people and allows us to focus our people on the areas that you get the most bang, such as, you know, ROI, or, you know, what's happening with the campaign versus how it's being executed versus, I call it, babysitting the avail. And that allows us to participate and continue to participate in the complexity that's coming in, the requirements that are coming in from these marketers who have all the budgets. So automation does help with address these growing complexity in the ad landscape. Secondly, I think targeting has always been the opportunity, I guess, with digital or streaming, the ability to target an individual versus a broadcast model. And targeting is now more, it's bigger than ever. So from a programmatic perspective, the way that's applied is targeting audience. And there's many different data sets being used to target those audiences, from core information about demographic to more advanced information about, you know, do they have a propensity to buy a Lexus, or, you know, or do they rent their home, or things like that. And so applying big data or data sets to audience to buy is another major part of programmatic, and both those together should lead to the following. One is more yield. So from a seller's perspective, you should be able to move more of your inventory in a more efficient way. And from a buyer's perspective, you should be able to use your budget in a most efficient way, so less waste, which should drive up your ROI. So how that all applies to CPM, I think, is pretty complex, because I don't think it decreases CPM, but it might change the way that CPM is viewed, depending on the type of buy that's happening.
Okay. Joy.
Sure. So I'll give a very specific example about what we've done in Strata with our partnership with Pandora, which I think does represent an ad model with impact. It's in the audio space, but I would encourage you to think about it as both a local play and also it works in audio and video. So we took Pandora, and because it's targetable at the local market level, created a bunch of actual station call letters, starting with the letters PA, and then, for instance, Chicago, which is where I live, is PACH-SM. So the media buyer who would go in and pull a ranker or look at her consideration set in the market now sees Pandora along with these other terrestrial radio stations that she or he is used to buying. That's step number one, and there's research associated with that. One of our other partners, Triton, provides the research for Pandora and is available in our system to look at, and of course, the terrestrial radio stations are viewed through Arbitron or now Nielsen Audio as well. So all that's happening in the system, but in an appropriately represented and meaningful way, right? From there, the buyer then can actually request for avails. And this gets to Mike's point that we've done a lot of work with Pandora to develop a very programmatic automated workflow. So it's very easy for the buyer, and it maps exactly to what I'm just saying she because I say she. It maps to what she does every day. So it's very comfortable. Then after the negotiation occurs, I'll say this about CPMs. I mean, because the station is sitting inside of a terrestrial radio station buy, I think there's an argument that can be made for commensurate CPMs to local spot advertising. Strata's not in charge of pricing that. That becomes a situation with Pandora that they work out with the buyers. But the whole play, the whole point is that you have an opportunity to position it as the important, valuable media that it is, worth a higher CPM. Because alternatively, in just the digital space, we know there's downward pressure on pricing there, and it's harder to justify the CPMs that you certainly might compare and see in local spot. So that process, I'll stop there. But the one other thing I want to add that I think is so key to this, that's so impactive, is that it scales. And I say scale meaning we have 1,000 agencies, so we have a way to actually bring this capability to all the media buyers. So that scale, that means revenue opportunity is exponential. We talked with radio partner, Songza. I don't know if there's anybody from Songza here, but they have an online radio streaming service. It's very customized and cool, actually. And they were doing an ad campaign. They were telling us about that that married both the audio ad with a display ad and then a CAPTCHA thing where you have to type in the name of the advertiser to get past the screen to listen to the music. So kind of a cool, integrated online campaign. The problem with such things is they're cool and they might be really high CPMs, but if I can only sell 5 of them or 20 of them, I'm not going to get where I want to. I'm not going to get to my revenue at the level that I want. So I use that as an example. Now, I think Songs is fantastic. I just encourage all of you to think about scale. So if you have what you consider to be the germ of a revenue idea, whether it's, you know, in local market radio, event-driven opportunity, there's a bunch of event-driven stuff right now going on that's huge. It's not just tapping the new cool idea, but it's figuring out how to plug it in and scale it for that ad model with impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Joanna.
Sure. I'll agree with Joy. I think I'd be shot off this stage if I actually gave CPMs from Pandora, so I'll just say competitive. and you're right, it is competitive with a local spot buy. If you make, or if you think about, again, the language of how the local spot buy works, but what actually does work at the end of the day, it's all of the same things that everybody talks about when you talk about being a marketer. It's things like, you know, the really effective campaigns are the ones where the marketer says, I'm within the Pandora environment. Let me speak to the users. It's about, again, and I can't overemphasize this, it's about that emotional connection. It's about, you know, we were talking right before this, and I said, gosh, something that we need to think about within the audio space around programmatic, although, frankly, I consider what Strata does with Pandora as already but programmatic, but maybe programmatic direct. We're going to come up with a new word here. I just stole that from you. Thank you. what we also need to think about is programmatic in the digital space, and how do you talk to somebody within the space of a banner is very different from when you're thinking about an audio ad. And so you have to layer in things like, yes, I'm targeting the right audience, but what is the reach and frequency of that? Because the ad model that doesn't work in audio is the one where you hear the same ad over and over and over again, whereas in the digital space, that's actually great. And let's make sure you get a lot of brand awareness through that. So really thinking about the creative execution, thinking about the reach and frequency, and thinking about scale actually not only makes an impactful experience for your client at the end of the day, but also makes a really impactful experience for your listener as well. Because there's what's good for the listener is also good for the advertiser at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Willie.
The audio ad that does play over and over again does tend to work for us. Maybe it's just our audience. And we do see that when we sort of do the repetitive play of some of those audio ads, the click-throughs actually do resonate. We see that. But as far as systems that we use, we use third-party services, so... And we have third parties representing us. So I can't speak to what we're doing internally for programmatic. We're not really doing much. We're relying on third party because we focus on the content and sort of focusing on helping to make those buys that come through worth the while of the advertiser.
Mm-hmm. Well, so just to try to give this discussion a little kind of more of a form,
I mean, if you're thinking about a network radio advertiser, they might be used to thinking about a CPM of like a $6 range. It'll be lower than audio, or lower than video. Video's higher. For a local buyer, they're thinking about the cost per spot. It's higher during drive time. You know, it might be $25, not drive time, maybe $60 to $80, depending on the market. I mean, how do you, though, approach an advertiser that's used to thinking about that? Are they willing to pay a premium for the better targetability, for the cachet of being on a Pandora or on a streaming online service? Are they willing to pay a premium for a voice-activated ad or something that's a little, you know, newer? How do you approach an advertiser that's used to those other kinds of economics? Willie?
So, again, it's a little different for us. They usually come to us. They'll come to me. And they'll tell us what they're looking for. So we don't have a team that goes out and sells. We have other parties that go out for us. So
here I am sitting over. It's not easy. This is why, as you probably all know, there's a lot of salespeople at Pandora out there pounding the pavement. We're really trying for the better of the industry to educate the buy side on where it is the same and where it's different. You know, we've built tools that actually says, you know, a spot in this world looks kind of like a spot over here. And having the conversation, especially around something like targetability, on, you know, you go out on a sales call in the audio space and it's, you know, anybody under the age of 21 doesn't exist almost, unless you're specifically buying a teen station. So how do you have the conversation that really your age demographic targeting could actually be expanded to from 18 to 54 because they're still of legal age? So there's a lot of education that has to happen, a lot of pounding the pavement and relationship building, and also really understanding what the marketer is trying to accomplish. Because you know what? Yes, absolutely. Will we figure out how to execute at scale? For Taco Bell, when they're trying to give everybody the munchies at 4 p.m., so they'll go out at the end of the day and go get, you know, Crunchwrap Supreme and all of that sort of stuff, 100%. But if you're a marketer who's saying, I want to buy drive time because that's what I know, well, then we've got an education opportunity, because really what is it they're trying to accomplish at the end of the day? And if they're trying to accomplish something like brand lift, awareness, all of those sort of things, it doesn't really matter if somebody's in drive time or listening to Pandora at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can still get that same awareness. So really coming back to the fundamentals of what is it they're trying to accomplish and having that conversation and really understanding what are their KPIs and applying that to the program. And if you do that, you can then bridge the gap against how do you compare. It's really like plums to peaches or something. They're still soft fruit, right? But they're not quite the same. And that's what then allows for the competitive pricing, and you can really ask comfortably and fairly for the rate that is the market rate out there. Because, frankly, it's a sound coming out of a thing. The fact that the sound is driven by bits and zeros and ones really makes no difference to a sound coming from a tower. I don't know where the one is around here. It's still a sound coming out of a thing, and that's the emotional connection that a marketer wants to have happening with their listener at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joy.
I would say, I would echo Joanne's point that it's definitely, you want to be specific to what your customer's customer, the client, right? So the buyer has a variety of advertisers for whom he or she is buying for, and that will drive different approaches. But in general, I think it's a crawl, walk, run, where you're bringing it to them in first a very familiar way, which is back to my example. I'm showing them digital inside of terrestrial so that they can become comfortable with it. Because if I came to them and showed them a data-enabled, highly targeted audio streaming ad campaign using third-party data and their own clients' first-party data to design a dynamic targeted market play, they would freak out and they wouldn't be able to contemplate the value proposition in relation to everything else that's there. It's a much harder sell. I shouldn't say they would freak out. It's a much harder sell. It's back to my scale point. I'm not going to be able to scale it. So crawl, walk, run. You introduce it in familiar terms. You know, a plum and a peach, and they're sort of similar. And then we have the wonderful opportunity. And Joanna and I were just talking about this before the panel today. Well, now that we've got them doing this, what else can we introduce to build upon it? To drive even higher CPMs because we've established that value proposition.
Okay, thanks. We should have had a couple mics on you guys before the panel, I think. Mike, how about from your point of view?
Yeah, just to echo some of the comments, I think one of the things that we did was when we approached the platform that the buyers and sellers use to create sort of a currency converter at all times so that no matter what background they come from, they can convert a spot to an impression to even GRP, if that's the way they look at it. And I think the having that all visible in one table, so you can just look across and see your campaign running and track whatever metric you care about, can help bridge that sort of crawl, walk, run stage. We thought that was important because we play heavily in traditional radio and are trying to bridge it the other way. So to some degree, every ad you run should be able to be sold or thought of by a buyer with the core metric that they care about. And then I think the next point is if salespeople don't have to spend as much time managing, let's call it the real boring logistics, and can start focusing on value add, I think that's where you can start to upsell and even maybe start testing some of these creative ad units that we've talked about don't scale very well, but you know potentially are great things to try and start to see what works and resonates. And I think having your most valuable asset, which is your people, your salespeople, selling both activation, selling obviously in the terrestrial world, you have events and all sorts of other things occurring, but able to kind of sell that engagement or that emotion can increase CPMs beyond this sort of transactional approach. And again, the transactional approach is going to continue to happen, but we can try to streamline that so that more of your time is spent on the creative value add, and that can increase your overall CPM on a blended basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, we've talked a little bit about the current state of play. How are things going to change over, say, the next 5 years, do you think? Where is the industry going to move?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to start seeing more of the breakdown between channels. So I think we've already seen that happening. We were just talking a little bit about bridging these different languages even between terrestrial ad budgets and digital audio ad budgets, but that's going to continue. So I think every year you're going to see more of these walls being broken down between digital and broadcast, let's call it. There will be more and faster ways to sell ads. There'll be more and faster ways to buy ads. The complexity will be removed, and I think they'll be more focused on things like ROI, which, frankly, I think we all agree is where the focus should be. But I think there'll be more tools available to measure ROI as well. So I think the big trends will be breaking down of walls and increased tools for ROI.
I would agree with that 100%. I think especially in the traditional world, looking more like digital will be important. So for radio to be able to basically pulse and post a buy like an ad server, even if it's not an ad server, in what feels like close to real time, even if it's not real time, is going to be really important, breaking down the barrier between digital and terrestrial, for example. We're seeing the same types of trends in video as well. So that's definitely one piece of it. And I think they'll continue to be relevant models on both the going after the traditional budgets and after developing more of the digital budgets. I think you'll see strategies on both sides. I know I can tell you from a Strata point of view, we're investing heavily in providing our media buyers capabilities on both in their traditional, spot world, for example, and also in their with their digital groups and building out digital capabilities and partnering with the right people and the right platforms to facilitate programmatic buying and drive data enablement capabilities there. The other thing I would say is I think data in general is going to play a bigger and bigger role. That's the other trend I would probably add just more to punctuate. There'll be much like the example of I would blow away a buyer by showing them, a way too targeted buy in the terrestrial radio world right now or in my system in exactly the same way. I think it will evolve to a place where there's going to be more and more comfort with using third-party and first-party data in more dynamic targeted ways. And we're going to teach the industry how to do that over the next period of years, I hope. So it's another trend I see.
Yeah, Joanna. I would agree on the data thing. I think it's that whole area is fascinating because there's not only the transaction with the data with the buyer, but then also the listener. I feel like the U.S. is still in its kind of prepubescent stage around what is right and wrong when it comes to using data and thinking on a global scale. The consistency of what happens with data is very inconsistent. And the users are going to actually guide us as people do really smart things and as people don't do smart things to what is the North Star that we should be heading towards around data. And I think having a really thoughtful strategy and philosophy and ethical line or whatever it is that you want to do there before you start playing in that space and before it gets a little too far down the road for you to be able to back off is really interesting. I'm also, and this is, I'm a big 5-year, I like going real BHAG on what's coming and what would I be interested, like what would make me sit up in my chair. As much as I'm sitting here saying, help the radio buyers by speaking their language and all of those sorts of things, they are smart, smart people and they are getting it fast. And they are starting to sit next to their digital counterparts who are like, wait a second, why is it you can't do creative ad swap testing? Why can't you, we ran a campaign for a client several years ago where, and it was a display campaign where we knew that the pink background optimized higher than the blue background ad. Well, you can't actually do that in the audio space yet. I mean, you can, but not at scale. And so when is that opportunity, when is sound within the ad space going to be scalable too? Because the actual ad production process is still a bit, if you want quality, is still a bit laborious and is still, you have to cut a new ad every single time. And having ad variety and having interesting things for the users to listen to is what's going to drive more listening, which then drives more ad, which then drives more money, which makes all of us really happy at the end of the day. But I also think, again, it's about if we can make an interesting creative that listens to the user but then also meets the client needs at the end of the day, we're going to have an amazing, amazing product. And, I love the fact that digital and video have gone before us because there's a lot of learnings we can glean from that. And I think it's a really great opportunity for us to say, well, like, they did really well over here. They didn't do so well over here. And so what can we do to actually make the new world of audio ads more interesting, more engaging, more interactive, more everything? Mm-hmm. I want more.
Really? I think for us, I'll piggyback and say data is really important and it becomes more important at 1 o'clock today when Apple makes their announcement with their new phones and maybe possibly a smartwatch. And, looking at the consumer space, for me, I like to see that maybe one day it's not just in stream audio ads that we're talking about, but a full-on campaign where we geofence them make a suggestion as to a place they can stop by, say Dunkin' Donuts, and when they get close enough to the beacon, we'll pick them up, and then we deliver them a coupon if they're listening to our streaming app. So breaking outside of just audio ads and using more of the tools that are available to us that are in the consumer's pockets, and that's their smartphone.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the consumer's ready for that kind of approach?
I think so. I think a lot more are ready than they like to admit. Once they start to use the technology, they jump right in, you know, full steam ahead. And some people will be apprehensive as usual, but I think a lot more are ready for that.
Twitter's already, I think you probably saw this week, adding a buy button within tweets. And so the concept of connecting what you consider advertising or getting your message out with a transaction is something that they believe is simplifying the experience for a consumer. And I think if we can come up with similar creative ad units and ad opportunities with audio, especially given our consumers out and about heavily, that could be very attractive both for our partners, the advertisers, and you know, retailers, et cetera. And obviously the publishers will benefit from that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think, I mean, one thing we've talked about programmatic, we've talked about scaling, but you know, at the end of this obviously is a consumer. And consumers, how are they reacting to advertising on the platforms? I mean, there's a lot of data about, obviously, nobody wants ads anymore. People feel entitled to listen to all their content without ads and without paying. So what you've been talking about also with the coupon being beamed to a driver getting next to a Dunkin' Donuts, for example, that's kind of getting around that. That's a creative approach where it's something that somebody really might want. It doesn't necessarily interrupt their music. It doesn't interrupt their experience. Is that really where we're headed, that sort of ad environment, Joy?
I would say I think so, and I think certainly the sky's the limit in terms of, you know, if we can dream it up these days, it seems like it shows up in every new business idea that I have for some gadget or something. I look it up on the internet and it already exists. So I'm certain that there's just a whole bunch of continued opportunity to leverage different ways of connecting with consumers. And then I think the trick is to figure out how to make that palatable for, I mean, this is, again, from a Strata point of view, and because we have such a large scale of agencies using our systems, it's coming up with ways to make it meaningful so that media buyers can get at it and really really buy it and provide those types of really sophisticated, cool options to their to their clients and then subsequently the consumers. Because right now, they're doing that cool stuff for sure. It's just in a one-off or a smaller scale fashion. So that's the challenge, I think, for both them and for the industry. Everybody wants to do more in digital. There's no lack of desire to spend more money there. It's creating ways to do that, in meaningful amounts. So that's my last point.
Okay, Joanna.
Sure. I love me a coupon. however, I don't always love me a coupon, right? I think as we think about this, you can't. Yes, you want to have kind of the audio version of the click-through or whatever it is that's going to be measured, whether it's a coupon or ad-free listening or whatever it is that the transaction is there. And consumers are actually very aware of that transaction. We've been testing out some ideas around what is a value exchange between an advertiser, and we've had, you know, the branded radio stations for a while on Pandora where they create an environment with music and say, look, you're just going to see this brand for a while and we're going to give you uninterrupted listening. So how do you create those environments? But at the other end of the spectrum, like, you know, I flew in this morning and I think it's Lucas Oil who has the stadium here. Yeah. I'm always interested in local sports. They've still got their big logo on the outside of the building. They are still paying. There's that concept of brand awareness in the entire sales funnel, and that when you are a marketer, that your strategy has all of those phases of the process. And are you thinking about when you're putting a program together? And this is when the really big dollars start to happen. This is when you get to start having conversations and say words like upfront. When you start saying, okay, well, what's your awareness and your branding strategy? What is your audience targeting strategy? What is your local strategy? What is your performance strategy? And actually tying all of those together, knowing that it isn't actually all about performance at one end of the spectrum, and it's also not all about brand awareness at the end of the spectrum. And are you, as a streaming media product, creating the suite of products that actually meet all of those needs at the end of the day and have the different KPIs for whoever's buying and how they want to buy?
Okay, great. Just before our time comes to an end, we do have time for a question or two. If we have anyone in the audience, we do have a hand here. And John, thank you. Yes? There is a mic coming around to you. Sorry.
You mentioned something about voice-driven advertising. I was wondering if you could go more into that, because it hasn't really come up yet. And it's an interesting concept, or voice-activated ads, rather. And I guess, yeah, that's the main question first.
Okay, thank you. Who would like to take that? Joanna?
Sure. I think it is interesting. We've certainly looked at it. Certainly within the context of in-car, there's no banner ad in-car, and because the automotive companies own the header unit, how a streaming audio product exists in-car is very different. And so if we were going to do the coupon sort of experience, voice activation seems like the natural thing to do. The buy side isn't quite there yet. Like, this is part of the education that needs to happen. I'm sure if there's a buyer in the room that's interested in doing this, let me know. I'm sure I have a salesperson in the room as well who will make it happen. I am still digital. We'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's really early stage. But certainly as scale grows within car, and in car is still not at the level that your mobile devices are and things like that. When that starts to happen, I think the concept of voice activated for more than just audio is going to start happening. But I think we can be the market leader in that space. And so I'm just genuinely curious to see what happens there.
We used to say that voice in the car context is sort of like your keyboard and the mouse. You know, there's the voice user experience, or VUI, some people call it, enables you to drive your car and have a somewhat safe experience versus looking at a screen or you know, hopefully keeping your hands on the wheel. And also for others in the car as well, it's just a natural way of interacting. And so I think the voice user experience will be a huge, maybe like as another next 5-10 year concept, will be one of the big trends. And I think it's going to be driven by the folks who have the most technology in voice user experience, which at this point are, there's a company called Nuance that's doing some things with voice-activated audio ads. I think there's some startups out there. But also you'll see, you know, Siri and Google's version, Google Now, and some others, I guess Cortana now with Microsoft. But whoever's got that sort of platform in the car will start to add both content, which will be their first approach, but then secondly, ads, because many of them make money with ads. And I think that will also be a help drive adoption and also awareness in the ad buying community. So it's probably a little early, but it doesn't mean we couldn't try things, and it is an exciting concept.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Last question, thank you.
Joy mentioned the fine work that Strata has done integrating with Pandora on the buyer desk and getting the numbers to the desk. What do you think the path is to get terrestrial stations, broadcast stations, stream to the buyer desk in the same manner that Pandora got there?
That's an interesting question. So I think there's a few ways to do it. One of the things that we've talked about doing is actually introducing a plus station. So instead of just having a, I'll use WPLJ in New York, but it's just because I like to say that. WPLJ could be WPLJ Plus, and the Plus could be a slightly higher set of impressions, maybe that 2 to 10% that includes the streaming portion, and could be priced with a guaranteed component and priced, you know, at some, instead of $100 CPM or $100 spot, $105 spot. Something like that approach is definitely, it's something we've actually actively talked about doing to bringing digital into the buyer's desktop. So that would be one way to do it. Another way to, there's another sort.
There's software that allows you to do that.
What's that?
There's software that allows you to do that now. I think the biggest concern that we have as an industry, we have to remember that just because something looks like a goose, acts like a goose, doesn't mean it's a goose. It actually might be a duck. And we have to be very careful with what we're doing with these numbers. Because while they might look the same, they don't mean the same thing to advertisers and to planners. And we have to be cognizant of that. And I think there's
absolutely it's true that there is a really important conversation to be had around data and differentiating what not all impressions are made the same, and there is an important aspect of this around defining that for buyers and putting it on the desktop in meaningful ways. But the other piece of it, which we can't overlook either, is we need to bring, there's a demand for digital impressions, and it's because the audience has shifted away from terrestrial radio and traditional video, and we need to bring it back, you know, we need to bring those impressions back into to the buyer's hands so that they can buy them. So we have to continue the dialogue and come up with ways to get at it.
We cannot hear you.
I also think we're out of time for our panel, so a discussion to be continued during the day, I hope. And thank you, panel.
Thank you.
Thank you.